Tyler kept asking me what I'm going to talk about. I kept telling him I'm going to talk about ringing people's noses. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with that verse in Proverbs, yeah. Anyway, how are you guys this morning? Doing great? Awesome. Somebody in the back there, y'all are quiet and scattered way back there. Wow. All right. Hey, let's pray for just a little bit here. Hey, Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for just the beauty of creation, the beauty of your righteousness, and we're clothed with your righteousness. Thank you that when you look at us, you look at us as your beloved. Jesus, we just want to come this morning and just tell you we love you and we give our life to you. We believe you because you're the Son of God. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come this morning and possess us, arrest everything that is going astray in our life. God, I ask that you would captivate us with your love to the point where we would turn the world upside down because we're so madly in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I am going to talk about ringing people's noses, Tyler. I don't know if any of you guys ever heard the story. I don't know how true it is, but there was once an atheist challenging a Christian and declaring that nothing in Scripture is valid or is true. And so the Christian proceeds to grab the guy by the nose and starts twisting his nose until his nose bled. And, of course, that's not going to... I don't recommend that, by the way. Let's not do that. But anyway, the atheist asked why he did that. And so the guy goes to Proverbs 30:33, for as churning cream produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood. So stirring up anger produces strife. Anyway, his point was, he was trying to prove his point that that Scripture is real, Scripture is true. So if I twist your nose, I'm just trying to get you to believe. I won't do that. But I do have a question for you. Why do you need God this morning? I was a couple weeks ago, I got hit by that. I was like, why on earth do I need God in my life? I was like, we come Sunday mornings, do we just, it's like, oh, let's just put more time in. You're like, well, why? Like, what's the point? If I'm not experiencing any benefits, if I don't have peace, if I don't have, you know, why do I need God? And I know some people are like, well, why aren't we enough in and of ourselves? I mean, we tend to be so self-sufficient. And we're not stupid, you know, I don't think we are. We're self-sufficient, but after all our success, what's the point? And by the way, I have to say something, Dee, after your word there with Jesus looking at us as the beloved, right before he said that, he reminded me that there is no junior Holy Spirit, and there's also not a senior Holy Spirit. He is one, and you can be filled with him. You can have his power. I don't care how old you are. He's not too old to work through you. So until your last breath, the Holy Spirit can work through you. Anyway, that was a little side note there. You can have the most brilliant of mankind come to the end of their life and end up with regrets. And it's fascinating to me. I've seen this enough times in my life. They get to the end, and they've been incredibly successful, millionaires even. And the one thing they regret is they didn't love well, and they didn't have connection with people. They didn't do something with people usually. It's usually about their loved ones or something. And they regret chasing the next dollar. Yeah. And it's really deceptive. It really is, because, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, obviously we work hard, we make money, we need to provide and all that. But when it comes to the point where we think that that is success in life, I think that's where we've gone wrong. I don't want to end up at the end of my life with lots of money in my bank account, but my wife and children, I'm disconnected from them, or I don't have a community and family around me. Anyway, to answer if we need God, I think we should have a glimpse into how we originated. And I don't know why, but for some reason I felt like I should go down into this a little bit just with creation, because there's so much of a push towards evolution and just a push towards people saying that God's not real. And I don't know all of you. I don't know where you guys are at. I'm going to believe you're all Christians. Y'all believe in God. but for some reason, I was supposed to go down this way a little bit. You know, we go to school and we believe, hey, you know, we evolved from apes and bacteria and all this kind of stuff.
Sorry for interjecting again, but also nope. If you go look at the science yourself and find out we share just as much DNA as we would do with apes as bananas.
case in point. The thing that's fascinating to me about it, though, is people that believe that way, they are constantly trying to find purpose for their life. They're constantly trying to fill in the pieces, trying to fill in the answers. The other one, if there was a big bang that created something so beautiful that we live in, why hasn't it happened again? in my opinion, nothing but chaos was ever created from any big bang theory. If God created you, and this is where I think this is why people try to reject God and try to push him away. If God created you, then you have to believe, or that means you're dependent on someone. And it means that someone has to give you the purpose and the reason why you were created and why you're on earth. Am I making sense so far? I don't mind if you interject. I like feedback. quite frankly, it takes more faith for me to believe that I came from an ape or from bacteria, because I think I'm pretty awesome. Amen. I'm pretty handsome. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really, that thing's hit me over and over where it takes more faith for me to believe that I came from nothing than to believe that there is a being that created you for a purpose. If God created you, then you have to know who he is. And if he's a spirit, then you have to believe that, one, there is a spirit realm, which makes the supernatural real. And two, the possibility that you have a spirit and will go somewhere when you die. Does that make sense? If God is who he says he is, then it's true. He designed us to need to be in fellowship with him in order to have peace, have a peace-filled life that's full of joy. He even says Jesus is our peace, by the way. And for myself personally, that's where I come to. Like, I want to have peace. I don't want to get to the end of my life, like I said, and like have all these regrets. I want to live a life that was, anytime I look back, hindsight's always 20/20, right? and I want to look back and it's like, wow, I had peace through that situation. I had peace through that situation. And I could have gone really wrong, but I was calm. I was trusting God. That's how I want to get to the end of my life. Literally, at the very least, we want peace in this life, and it has to come from him because he is peace itself. You literally cannot zen yourself into a perfect, sustainable, constant peace. There is no program or belief system other than believing in Jesus that will give you peace. And you look at all the other religions in the world, and they, you know, like I said, people try zen, people try all this kind of stuff where they're trying to find that constant source of peace. And Christianity, quite frankly, is the only, if you want to call it a religion, I hate even saying it that way, it's the only one where There is literally a physical, constant peace because you are now connected with your Creator. Does that make sense? Trying to find peace outside of God is like trying every new diet that comes along hoping that it'll be the one that finally makes you skinny like me. And it's never sustainable. Seriously. I mean, yeah, sorry, I had apple pie. I kept thinking about it. I was like, man, this thing's bulging out way too far now. My wife made apple pie for me this week, and it was amazing, I tell you. True peace is for those who decide to believe in Jesus. If you were designed, get this, if you were designed to live a healthy physical life, were you not also designed to live a healthy spiritual life? You were designed, literally designed by God to live in peace through Jesus. You were designed for that connection. Some people call it every person's designed with a God hole, and I'm like, not really. It's like you're, anyway, that's a bunny trail. God is the one that gives you purpose. Like I said, if you believe in God, then you have to also, you're dependent on Him to give you the purpose and reason why you're on this earth. If you want purpose that satisfies the most, then your purpose has to come from someone who knows you the most. And that is God, because He created you. If you think your purpose is being independent and free, that's not a purpose. That's a pursuit. And that goes back to the whole thing of trying to make money and trying to be so successful in this life. That's a pursuit. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is what makes you feel the most known. You only feel truly known when you're known by God, because He knows you, not just physically, but spiritually, because He is a spirit. It took me a long time to get to the point where, as a Christian, I believe we have mind, soul, body, soul, and spirit. But my spirit is the thing that's going to live forever. It is the most important part of me. It is the largest part of me, put it that way. That is the thing that I need to take care of the most. I think it's in Proverbs. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. There's a reason for that, because your heart, the very core of who you are, your spirit, is the most important thing. Once that goes off, everything else can go off. You can have 1,000 people know about you and even know you personally, and you still feel like you're in a shell and no one really knows what's going on inside. And I'm sure we probably all have experienced that. You get into a crowded room and you still feel very alone, even if it's you're there for your birthday party kind of thing. You know what I mean? But what's really cool, and this is where a lot of things changed for me, was when I would be in a place like that, and someone would come up to me, and let's say, let me think of an example here. The only one I can think of is a buddy of mine. They were praying one time, and praying for this girl, and the only thing that kept coming to his head was frogs. All he would see was frogs, just big green frogs, and he's, you know, way he is, kind of laughs about it and like, don't know why, but I'm gonna, like, some reason all I can think of is frogs. And the girl just lost it, because all that week she had been watching a TV show about frogs, and she all of a sudden, like, oh my word, God knew exactly what I was watching the entire week. Like, it was a little detail that no one else knew, but God knew. And that's where, for myself, that's where things really started changing, where that feeling of being known by your Creator, there is no other feeling like that. There's no joy that can surpass that. You are most secure and at peace when you know that you know God and He knows you. Beyond knowing you, because He is God, because He is a friend. That's what makes a difference. When you actually know Jesus, when you're actually possessed by him, he becomes your friend. And a lot of people don't believe even that God speaks anymore nowadays. I'm sorry to tell you, but he does. Oh my goodness, he speaks. My little four-year-old, my goodness, she can ask questions one after another until I'm like, finally, like, shut it down. And I honestly feel that's how the Father is. That's how Jesus is. He's constantly trying to find ways to talk to us, trying to, oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah, because he's so relational. He's so relational. But I tell you what, if you want purpose, just be known by someone like that. If you want to find your purpose, you let God start talking to you. You let him start, you start feeling known by him. I don't know if you can possibly not fall in love with someone that knows you. I mean, my wife knows me better than anybody else. And when something comes up and like she gets me, it makes me fall in love with her all over again. Does that make sense? And that's how it is with God. It's constant because he knows you better than anyone else. But why believe in a higher power? I mean, quite frankly, my life is going pretty great right now. You know, why would I need something? It's interesting. Successful people tend to be the most unhappy because they got their success by clawing their way to the top. Once they've gotten there, there's no purpose anymore.
Sorry, I'm again. Listening to Hunger Generation once, and it's, if your confidence is not Jesus, your confidence is like a balloon.
Yeah.
The moment anything touches that balloon, it pops.
Yep. Absolutely.
Your mind, something happens that causes in your mind to collapse, you're like, oh, it's the end of the world.
Yep. Absolutely.
If your faith is Jesus, your faith is a rock.
Yeah. Yep. yeah, so if you were from bacteria, if that were actually true, what would be the point of humanity? You know, and since when did bacteria make you feel known? You know, like, what's the point of that? If the Big Bang started your existence, what would be the purpose for humanity? There are many things you can give your life for and believe in, but outside of Jesus, there's no lasting peace. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but let's get this. I'm convinced that anyone who decides to believe Jesus and follow him, you cannot aimlessly wander around with no purpose in your life. I don't think it's possible. I mean, there's no, it'd be the same as, I'm married to my wife. I'm in love with her, and it would be the same as, let me see if I can get this straight. It'd be the thing with my ring would be the only significant detail that you would know that I'm married to my wife. You see what I'm saying? Like, there would be no point and purpose beyond that if that's all you saw. The way that you know that I love my wife is the affection that I show her wherever we're at, whenever. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? When you're in love, you're full of purpose. When I'm in love with her, all of a sudden, I'm gonna do everything I can. That's why the guys will get the flowers. That's why they'll get the candles out. And you see what I'm saying? Like, when you're in love, you have a purpose. There's something that you can do because that person that you're in love with is making you feel known, and you want to experience that over and over again. The value you place on your life is directly connected to having a purpose, and purpose only comes from being known, and to be known is to be loved in the deepest part of who we are by the God who created us. If we feel like nothing is happening, if we feel like we just can't figure out our purpose, the first thing to do is believe in Jesus. Because if he's the one that created you, just give him a chance. Does that make sense? Jesus said, Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. You want to be that person? When you walk into the room, you just bring the goodness with you. You know, there's people like that. They're like the life of the party. You know, they just walk in and you just smile just because of what's coming from them. You want to be that kind of person? Be full of Jesus. You want to feel full of life? No matter how young you are, how old you are, you want to feel full of life? You believe in Jesus. Like I said, there's no senior Holy Spirit. You can't have abundant life in the Spirit if you don't believe Jesus is who he says he is. And he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about being so happy you're bouncing off the walls as much as you're full of joy because you're in love. Does that make sense? There's a lot of times my wife and I argue way too much, but you ever see the picture where the old couple's sitting on the park bench and it's pouring down rain and he's holding the umbrella over her and just, you know, he's really got a sour look on his face, but he's still holding the umbrella. He still has a purpose because he's still in love with her, even if, you know, she's kind of ticked off sometimes. So that's what I mean. Like, there's still that joy will still make you in it. Sorry, it's probably a lame analogy, but that joy will still make you hold that umbrella because you're in love with that person. And I don't care how, it's like, Jesus, you just ticked me off today, but you know what? I'm going to choose to love you. So the point of this whole thing that I'm getting to this morning is that I want you guys, like I said, I believe you are all Christians, but I want you to be encouraged to step out and believe. Jesus said over and over and over, you read the Gospels, I forgot to count it up, but he is all the time saying, believe, 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 and there's a reason for that. Unbelief, boy, that'll shut things down real quick. You want to feel dull and boring in your life? It's because of unbelief. Because you have no purpose. Unbelief takes the joy out of any relationship. If I don't believe that my wife loves me, what's the point? But if I believe, even if she's upset with me sometimes, if I still believe that she loves me, I'm going to do whatever I can to fix the relationship. When we need an impossible situation taken care of, our duty is to believe and to be in love with God instead of trying to come up with ways to fix everything ourselves. And I think that's where we tend to be so self-sufficient and we don't actually realize that, okay, if you're made by a being, you also have to have him, you have to stay connected with him to enjoy this very short life that you have. It's amazing the amount of times Jesus asked the disciples, where's your faith? Like, why don't you believe? Why did you doubt? Faith in God, first of all, gives you the perspective that any circumstance coming at you is simple for God to deal with. The reason I have faith in God is I know whatever circumstance, he can take care of it. If he can create me, if he can create you, if he can create the earth, what circumstance could possibly come at me that he can't take care of or that he can't get me through? Faith is an action of putting all our hope in God. I believe it is so attractive to God that he acts on our behalf to heal us and make the waves and winds be still in our life. It's really cool you guys sang that song. Like, yeah, a lot of us, we've had a lot of winds and waves. We get to the end of our life and some parts of it's been pretty rough. What got you through it? Was it yourself? I mean, the times that you tried to get through it yourself, yeah, you're left with a lot of emptiness once it's passed. You see what I'm saying? Faith is an action, putting all your hope in God. And it's the thing of, no matter if it's pouring down rain, I got my umbrella for Jesus. You know what I mean? You're going to be in love with him. And that's the thing that gets through. And like I said, it's so attracted to him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is his love language. Boy, that one hit me last night so hard. Faith is his love language. We spend so much time, all this Enneagrams and like love languages and all this kind of stuff to figure out relationships between us and other people. I'm telling you, faith is God's love language. You want to know how to love him? Step out in faith. Oh, he's going to be all over it. He said, faith the size of a mustard seed is going to make him move. Promise I'll try not to keep you till 12, but I got a ways to go. David says, this is talking about all the benefits of believing in God. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, not just the big ones, and heals all your diseases, all of them, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. I really like that. I actually have this thing with Jesus walking on the water. I might have to just skip over this. Let's see here. Something that hit me about the story of Jesus walking on the water recently was the fact that Peter couldn't see Jesus. When Jesus came walking on the water, it said he looked like a ghost to them. And they were absolutely terrified out of their minds. Peter couldn't even see him. So why on earth would he step out of the boat? I'm like, my faith is looking pretty small already. The only reason I believe Peter actually stepped out of that boat is because Jesus said, come. And he says, my sheep know my voice. I believe when Jesus said, come, he instantly knew that it was Jesus, and that was the thing that gave him the courage to step out on the water and walk. I'd have probably just got out of the boat and just like my knees have been knocking together. I was like, I'm not moving till you get here, Jesus. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When Jesus says something, that's when you act. Jesus would always act when the Father would say something. When we hear his voice, it produces faith. It's his love language. There's another story that's pretty interesting to me that don't get talked about very often. Jesus told Peter, maybe I should just read this one. Is that all right? If I go too late, you guys are just going to have to stop me and or just get up and leave or something. Matthew 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. I love that. What do you think, Simon? He asked, from whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. There's a lot of stuff you could get out of that. Jesus tells Peter, a professional fisherman, to go catch a fish, and he'll find money in its mouth, enough money to pay Peter's tax and Jesus' tax. Faith is an action. Peter still had to go fishing. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said something. Peter still had to act on what he said. But when he did, it provided for himself and for Jesus, and it kept people from being offended. I think the reason why a lot of people in the world are offended by Christianity is because there's not an actual display of faith. If you say that you believe something, but you never act on it, do you actually believe? Faith isn't just for your benefit. It's meant to be a force that changes the world around you for the better. Also, as a side note that I found very interesting, Jesus said to take the first fish. He's super efficient. What about Moses when God split the Red Sea? Sometimes the enemy's on your back and moving forward looks completely impossible. And sometimes God's asking you to do something as ridiculous as taking a stick and hitting the water with it. But when we act on it, that's when God moves, because it's his love language. Exodus 14:14. I shared this a couple weeks ago, and I'm still chewing on it. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Well, you can't be still if you don't believe the Lord will fight for you. It also means that any circumstance in your life that you're resting in, you have authority over it. When Jesus was in the boat in the storm, he was sleeping. And all the disciples were completely freaking out. He was the only one. When he woke up, he was the only one that could say, "Peace, be still." And the waves and the winds were calm. Because he was the one that was resting and knowing, like when he got woke up, he was being told, "Hey, we're drowning, we're gonna die." And Jesus is like, no. He trusted his Father to the point, I can rest through this circumstance, it doesn't matter, and I have authority over it because of my faith. And because of that relationship, he acted on his faith and something happened. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. I've always been fascinated by that. Like, test yourself. How do you test yourself? Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. I love how Paul writes that. But how can we say that we are in the faith if we're not living by faith? One of the things about this church that really attracted me was that it was the Acts church. And the book of Acts has been one of the most monumental, mind-shifting things for me, of people that just got so possessed by the Holy Spirit and something happened. There was miracles that took place. If you're not taking chances, how do you know that you're living by faith? I know this is might be a little hard. A little baby trying to learn how to walk, they'll do all kinds of crazy stuff to get up and try to walk. They'll fall down, they'll get back up and walk. They'll fall down, they get back up and walk. And all of a sudden, one day, there they go. And then you have to put a leash on them just to hold them back. I think that's a lot how the relationship is with the Father. Like, I don't hear right all the time. There's times I give someone a word, a prophecy, or I feel I'm supposed to pray for you for healing, and well, something's not wrong, or no, it's the other shoulder, it's not that one. You know, you see what I'm saying? I might get it completely wrong. But the point is that you have to step out. If you want a love relationship with the Father, you have to step out in faith. It's his love language. When you do step out, this is what I want to leave you with. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. When you hear it wrong, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. He's still with you. He didn't leave you. Isaiah 41:10-13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not your self-sufficient right hand. It's his. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Man, these are some powerful promises from a creator. You're created for a purpose, and you have Almighty God saying these kind of promises to you. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose by stepping out in faith? I mean, some of you probably have something in your life right now that it looks absolutely terrifying to step out into. There's a dream that you've had since you were a little kid. By the way, I honestly think that when God created you, he wrote in your DNA the things that you like, the dreams that you have, the wishes that you have. And if you're in all your ways acknowledging him, he's going to direct your path so that your dreams come true. He is more interested in your dreams coming true than you are yourself. I honestly believe that. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. He's more interested in it than you are. And he's constantly, I honestly believe, he is constantly thinking up new ways to get you into that spot where your dream comes true, because he was the one that wrote it to begin with. One last one. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Here we go, talking about my little kid again. I would do anything for that youngin', you know what I mean? I mean, what parent wouldn't? A lot of times, Alex and I will sit there and I'll tell her, like, I would die for you. I love you. And she's like, oh, I would die for you. And she's like, so we just go back and forth, just back and forth. And that, oh, I mean, just, I love that thing. The Father, he already did die for you. He already did that. He already went to the farthest depth that he could go. All right. You still good? I remember one time, and when I talk about stepping out in faith, there was a season in my life where I was being discipled by the Holy Spirit. It was one day to the next doing something that he says to do. And my thing was like, well, if this is true, then that voice that tells me to go pray for this person or gives me a word for that person, I'm just going to take a leap and just see if it's true. And there are so many times, I don't know how many times God just like, wow, okay, that was really stupid, but here, let me make it work so that when you come and tell this person, yeah, they do have that problem. You know, that's how it feels like he did for me a lot of times. But for a financial thing one time, I was down to the last couple hundred dollars. And a lot of us probably had miracles happen where God provided and all that. But he was telling me to go to some place. It was 7 hours away. I don't have enough gas money. I had enough to maybe get up there, but not to get back home. And for like all morning long, he kept telling me, Caleb, you got to go. You got to go. I want you to do this. And I'm like, I don't have gas money. One of my greatest, I shouldn't call it spankings, but he told me that you're basing your decision off your bank account and not me. And that really changed things. So I decided to go, and I was halfway out my driveway, and a friend texted me, and hey, I just deposited X amount of money into your bank account that I owed you. I had totally forgot they owed me. And I'm like, woohoo, I'm going. and like, I wonder though if that person would have probably forgot about it if I wouldn't have stepped out in faith. Does that make sense? Like, I honestly feel like when you step out in faith, God loves it so much that he is going to act on your behalf. You want the benefits of serving God? Yeah, do his love language. You know what, Tyler? I really wouldn't mind if you guys sing that song again. Walking on the water. What is the title of that thing? Yeah, Oceans. That would be wonderful. Yeah. Can we stand and sing that song? I really, like, I'm not trying to be hard or anything. It's just, I want to push you guys to, you're called the Acts Church for a reason. So let's actually act on it. Let's actually, you want to love God, do his love language. Faith is his love language.